Their neighbors thought they had the perfect family, a quote-unquote fabulous life. But the kids told a different story when a knife ended up in his chest. Was it an unfortunate accident or brutal revenge? This is the story of Christine Ritchie, the mom who killed her firefighter husband, who just happened to have cheated on her. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. On January 28th, 2021, police received a 911 call at 4:46 p.m. from a 16-year-old at a home in Marshfield, Massachusetts. I know I talk about Mass way too much, but I'm sorry, the Google algorithm has my number and knows exactly what I'll click on. Michael J. Ritchie had fallen down the stairs to his sunken living room and was unconscious. Paramedics began performing CPR on him as his wife and 16-year-old daughter watched, but they soon realized there was something they hadn't been told. He was bleeding from his chest. They rushed him to South Shore Hospital, where he was pronounced dead from stab wounds. His wife, Christine Ritchie, was arrested. And you may be thinking, Christina Ricci, the little girl from Casper, the 1995 masterpiece starring Devon Sawa? Because that's what I thought. But luckily for her, Christina was too busy getting ready to film Yellowjackets to be stabbing anyone. But Christine Ritchie was not. The 46-year-old was charged with one count of murder, but collapsed in what appeared to be a seizure at her arraignment. She had to be taken to the hospital. 51-year-old Michael Ritchie was a Bostonian born and bred and had been a firefighter for 23 years. He and his wife, Christine, were raising three children. One from Christine's previous marriage, and two they had together. Michael was an Army veteran of the Gulf War and the kind of guy who once left a job to spend more time with his family. Christine taught Zumba classes and was taking courses online. When authorities arrived at their home on January 28, 2021, they found Michael unconscious and bleeding from his head with multiple stab wounds. A neighbor said they were a fabulous family who seemed loving, that the parents were great and the kids were great. But you never know what's behind the happy facade of a home, and the kids had a different story. They said Michael and Christine's marriage was fraught with physical and emotional abuse on both sides, made worse by alcoholism and mental health issues. Christine was already known to the local police for a March 2020 incident where she was charged with disturbing the peace and trespassing, although I wasn't able to find more about that event. She had also been hospitalized once after trying to stab herself in the stomach with a knife during an argument with Michael. On this day, a fight between the couple ended with Christine grabbing a 5-inch knife from a kitchen drawer. Only this time, she wasn't using it on herself. That knife was found at Michael's feet. Christine pleaded not guilty and was held without bail after her medical emergency in court. She said Michael had been having a manic episode for 3 days, and when he came in from shoveling snow, they began to fight. Their daughter was home from school and heard them arguing, but they were always arguing. Michael was now sober after having been an alcoholic, but he still suffered from depression. And Christine was on medication for her own mental illness. Christine said Michael took her by the neck and shoved her to the floor, so she only took out the knife to scare him. She said he lunged at her and fell onto the knife, and she didn't even know she had stabbed him until she reached for him and felt that his chest was wet. But he had stab wounds on his left chest area and his left back shoulder and a slash on his back. I'm not sure why it would be in multiple areas if it was an accidental stabbing while just trying to scare someone. The Plymouth County Assistant District Attorney said Christine talked to police about there being quite a struggle in the house, and yet nothing seemed to be out of place. The house was very cluttered, though. And Michael did have scratches on his hand and bicep, but this was not the first time Christine had apparently lunged at him with a knife. One of their two sons said he got between his parents in 2019 when they were fighting and had to physically stop their mom from stabbing their dad. In April 2021, a Plymouth County grand jury indicted Christine on one count of murder and one count of assault and battery by means of a dangerous weapon. She was back in court in May 2021, where some critical pieces of new information were revealed. One, Christine had been violent toward Michael before, giving her husband bruises and a fat lip. Two, there was nothing that showed he had lunged for her. And three, Michael had been having an affair. Apparently, learning about his affair of several weeks was what sent Christine to the South Shore Hospital for a mental health evaluation in 2019. Christine's lawyers said that wasn't relevant to the case because there was a 2-year gap between her being committed and his death. Why would she kill him over something that happened years ago? Prosecutors, in turn, argued that while Christine said she was just protecting herself from Michael, there were no records to suggest that he suffered from manic episodes. It took a few years, but Christine finally went to trial in July 2024. The assistant DA opened by saying that, yes, there was a gap between Christine finding out about Michael's affair in 2018 and her killing him, but all throughout that time, the cheating consumed her. She and Michael went to couples therapy. They tried to work on themselves. They even had a vow renewal ceremony in 2019. But Christine couldn't stop bringing up the affair, needling Michael over his indiscretion. The prosecution hoped to prove a pattern of abuse and called their relationship a pot of water waiting to boil over. Christine's lawyers said that the jury needed to only focus on the actual day Michael died, not the months or years leading up to it. They said Christine was distraught when the authorities arrived, not cold and cruel like someone who had planned to murder her husband. They said she couldn't even recall their entire argument that day because she was so hysterical. Their daughter testified that Christine suffered from panic attacks. She said her dad had been an alcoholic and that his disease caused so many of the arguments between her parents, but he had started going to AA meetings after admitting to his affair and was sober. Christine's eldest son from her other marriage had been adopted by Michael. He testified that the two of them had to try to keep his mom from hurting herself.
Was there any particular event that you can recall in your parents' marriage where you started to see that change?
Affair.
Okay. And when you say the affair, what do you mean?
My father, or my mom finding out that my father cheated on her.
And did you learn that from both your mother and your father, that that had been what happened?
Just through arguments and stuff, yeah.
And so when your mother learned about the affair, did you notice changes in her demeanor on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah.
What kinds of things did you notice changed?
Secluded. Angry, I guess. At the situation she was in. And confused too at the same time.
Okay. So would you hear her yell a lot more than you had heard her yell in the past?
Yeah. I mean, those past 3 years to his final day was abnormal as it could come, you know, the fights were just ongoing, you know? So that wasn't normal having that many fights. And then on top of it, that long of a period too of time, fights are going on. That wasn't normal at all.
Okay. And would you be around hearing and seeing these fights?
Yeah, without even me having a point. If I was in the basement, there was no getting away from it.
So
I could hear the muffles and stuff and loudness, and it's just, yeah.
A coworker said Michael had had black eyes in the past, and even a week before he died, Michael came to work with scratches on his neck. A friend who sometimes hired Michael to help at his business said he showed up to work one day with scratches, a fat lip, and a bloody nose.
Okay. And when you noticed this change in his behavior, did you notice any physical changes as well?
Yeah.
What did you observe of Michael specifically physically?
Okay, physically, he looked like he didn't look good. In other words, he didn't look like the Mike I knew when everybody knew, to the point where we'd ask, is everything okay? Or pull him aside, is everything all right? Because he had scratches a lot on his face, a lot. He had a fat lip. He had a bleeding nose. One time we thought his nose was broken. We asked him if everything was all right. Something you want to talk about?
Drawing your attention to the middle of 2019, what, if anything, drew your attention with regard to any injuries he had on him?
He reported to work one morning with two black eyes.
Had you ever seen him have black eyes before, sir?
No.
And how was his demeanor that day when he came in with the two black eyes?
I would describe it as somber.
Did you ever know Michael to be kind of a barroom brawler?
Never.
And was that the only time you saw Michael Ritchie with injuries, sir?
No.
Drawing your attention to a few months prior to his death, did you observe him come to work with another injury?
Yes, a black eye.
And what was his demeanor on that occasion?
I would say the same. He was somber.
And without telling us anything he said to you, sir, both those times you just described, would you have a brief conversation with him about the nature of those injuries?
I did.
And drawing your attention to 1 week before Michael Ritchie's death, again, without telling us anything he told you had happened, what, if anything, did you observe on his neck?
He had scratches on his neck.
One time when Christine came to his office, she flipped on a dime from pleasant to hostile and started yelling so loudly that he was concerned for his employees. He said she also called him when she was upset about finding out about Michael's affair. Apparently, she was driving around the neighborhood looking at names on mailboxes to find the woman and was getting so worked up, he thought he might need to call the police. On day four, Michael's so-called mistress testified about their six-week affair that occurred in 2018 when she thought he was separated from Christine. The woman, a nurse, said Christine texted her after the affair had already ended, telling her to stay away from Michael. Christine also showed up to her house long after the affair was over. She testified that Christine was all over the place in her emotions, screaming or crying or asking for a hug from your husband's mistress. Christine was apparently obsessed with finding out details about their relationship, texting this woman to the point that she eventually had to just start ignoring Christine's pleas.
And could you describe what happened, ma'am?
She knocked on the door and I opened it and she said, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Seriously?" And I realized it was her. So I stepped outside. She said, "I need to talk to you." So I stepped outside on the deck.
Was anyone else home?
I don't think so.
And how did she appear, namely Christine?
At first, started yelling and screaming.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. So at first she was yelling and screaming. What was she yelling and screaming?
How could you do this to me? That was my husband. And should I continue?
Did she say other things initially as well?
She was kind of all over the place. There was yelling and screaming. There was crying. There was calmness. I had explained that I was told that their marriage was over, that they both mutually agreed to separate, that she was seeing somebody else. She wasn't wearing her rings.
And during the course of that conversation, what, if anything, were you saying about your part in it?
I told her I was truly sorry for my part, that I wish that I had waited for them to truly be legally divorced before anything moved on in our relationship. And, you know, I can't take it back, but I do apologize and I wish them happiness.
And how long was your conversation with Christine Ritchie on that date, if you recall?
I'd say at least an hour.
And how did the conversation end?
She said she forgives me and she asked if she could give me a hug.
Did you hug?
Yes.
The girlfriend of Christine's eldest son testified that while living with the Ritchie family, she saw Christine and Michael fighting daily for almost 2 years after the affair came to light. She said Christine once had to go to the hospital after injuring her hand while punching Michael in the face. She also saw Christine once trying to cut herself on Mother's Day while the boys and Michael tried to stop her.
Do you recall an incident involving the defendant, Christine Ritchie, with a knife?
Yes.
And could you tell me when you recall that, as we could call it, the knife incident occurring?
It was May 10th, 2020.
And do you remember if that was why that date stands out in your mind? Was it some sort of a special day?
Yeah, it was Mother's Day.
And with regard to that date, can you describe what it is you recall happening?
I had came home and there was some sort of argument and I was in the basement and I was walking up the stairs and Christine was on the floor with a knife, holding it to her wrist. There was some sort of argument and I had gone downstairs to get ready to leave because my dad was coming to pick me up.
And did you engage in any kind of conversation with Christine?
Yes.
And what did you say? Or what was said?
I don't remember the argument, but when I had seen what I saw, I asked her if she was really going to do that in front of her kids. Their youngest son testified that he saw their house go from silent and tense to hostile and loud. His mom brought up the affair so often, causing so many fights, that he eventually moved out to escape it all. He said his dad was looking haggard and bruised the last time he visited, and he was growing more resentful of his mom for how she treated the family. He called her the defendant and Christine on the stand instead of mom.
Your relationship with your father was extremely close. He's my hero. He was a firefighter. You for a while wanted to be a firefighter, is that right?
Yes.
He was in the military. You wanted to be in the military.
Yes.
Essentially, he was sort of a role model, wasn't he?
He was.
And when you think as highly of someone as you think about your father, it must be very hard to hear people say things that are not flattering about them, correct?
When I was younger, yes.
Yeah.
It was tough to hear, yeah.
And even when you were just getting out of high school in like 2018, to hear him talk about himself badly was also a painful experience since you loved him and he was such a role model to you.
Yes, it was tough. Yeah.
Right. So when he came home in October of 2018 and sat everybody down and told you that he was an alcoholic, that must have been a pretty big blow to you, right?
It wasn't more of a blow. It was more of a confusion.
Right. And when he told you after that, you immediately went and he told you about the affair. That must have been extremely difficult for you to hear that.
That was a little bit tough, yeah.
Yeah. Because you didn't like holding the thought that your father had done something like this, given the way you thought about him.
Well, we put our heroes on high pedestals as right. kids, so it was tough to hear, yeah.
The medical examiner who received Michael's body said the stab to his chest would have made it hard for him to breathe as it cut through to his heart and lung. Apparently, the wound was so savage that half of the total blood in his body pooled in his chest cavity that day. She did say, though, that the same kind of injury could have resulted from him falling on the knife, which was, of course, Christine's version of the events.
Now, there are scenarios in which a knife wound, I'm sorry, a penetrative wound can be longer than the blade that caused it.
Yes.
And that situation is one in which the force in which it enters the body compresses the soft tissues on top of the wound such that the blade extends further into the body than the length of the blade.
That's correct.
And that could also be a scenario in which a grown man from a height of about a foot fell onto a blade with their entire body weight.
That's possible, yes.
In closing, the defense said that yes, Christine was devastated over her husband cheating on her, but she wasn't really a killer. Really, the only person she was ever trying to harm was herself. Her lawyer said she was trying to cut herself, Michael was trying to stop her, and he was killed when the two stumbled. He said the prosecution neither proved that Michael was murdered nor that Christine planned it. In Massachusetts, second-degree murder must be done intentionally. The prosecution said Christine ended Michael's life in order to end her own anger and jealousy. Not a single witness was called on Christine's behalf, and the jury only took 3 hours to convict her. Christine Ritchie was found guilty of second-degree murder and assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. She'll be sentenced on August 22nd. Now, some would say that Christine didn't entirely get a fair trial because her lawyers weren't allowed to present a self-defense argument. But the judge said Christine's actions didn't meet the criteria for that. Not only did she not use reasonable force to defend herself, but there were ways she could have escaped the situation. The defense also wasn't allowed to present therapy records showing that Michael may have suffered from bipolar disorder and depression because of confidentiality. But again, I'm not sure that having a tendency toward mania gives someone the right to stab you. Also, the fact that Christine didn't tell the officers and paramedics who first arrived at the home about the stabbing makes me think she wasn't in a huge hurry to save Michael. Although maybe some would say she was too hysterical to make sense of everything in that moment. In a way, I feel sorry for Christine because I can only imagine what it feels like to find out your husband had a 6-week affair, to have him admit to it in front of your children. I think I would also be obsessed with finding out details of the affair, although hopefully not to the point of seeking out the other woman and asking for a hug. I feel sorry for Michael, too, while not excusing him for the affair, but recognizing that there was a lot of struggle in this marriage. He was an alcoholic who had gotten sober, trying to save a wife who kept trying to hurt herself. Michael's obituary calls him the epitome of selflessness and servitude, constantly assisting others in times of need. He was highly decorated by the army, but humble and selfless about his acts of bravery. He loved cooking for his family and said that being a dad was one of his greatest honors, joys, and sources of pride. So, most of all, I'm so sad for his kids, who had to see what their father went through and now have to go through life without him. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.